We're going to be studying from 2 Peter chapter 1 this afternoon. I would encourage you to open your Bible there. This opening slide may look familiar. Last calendar year, as it drew to a close, the last few months, we studied these Christian graces and went through them one by one and took a look at them and how they are connected to one another, and especially how it is something that we are to strive to add to our faith in order to partake of the divine nature. There are some things in this text that I want us to take a look at. I wanted to wrap that up and moved on to some other things, and here we are making some headway into the following year, and I wanted to back up and visit this text. We may do so again a couple other times. There's a lot here in this passage. To refresh our minds, I want us to read the text for 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. I want to read verses 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this passage, the goal is clearly set before us. In verse 4, we are invited to become partakers of the divine nature. That is, as much as we can, to become like God. Not in a miraculous way, not that we are promised that we will have His divine attributes, His omniscience, omnipresence, His eternal nature in that sense, though we have eternal souls. But we understand that it has to do with His character, that we can learn to think like God, act like God, be as close to God as we can in our character. That's what we are invited to do. That's the goal. The means of achieving this goal is set forth in verses 5 through 7. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and on down this list of things that we are to add. And in doing so, we are bringing our lives more in line to the divine nature, more in line to being what God would have us to be. What I want us to give attention to for a little while this afternoon is the way we are to approach this. The manner in which we carry out this process is very important. I want us to look at the phrase found in verse 5, giving all diligence. Remember back as we studied adding these virtues to our faith, now we see how it is we are to go about doing this. Giving all diligence. This phrase, giving all diligence, is translated from an interesting combination of two Greek words. The first is the word giving is translated from this Greek word. Your pronunciation of it will be just fine. I don't know exactly how to approach that. It's a very long word. What's interesting about this word, it means literally bringing in by the side of. That's the idea behind this word, is you've got something right here already, And the admonition here is for us to bring something in alongside of it. I want to read what Guyon Woods, who was a member of the Lord's Church, and he was identified with the institutional brethren back during the split over institutionalism, but wrote a commentary on 1 and 2 Peter, and I found his comment to be very interesting about this Greek word occurring nowhere else in the Greek Testament and meaning literally bringing in by the side of. The term indicates the comparative unimportance of man's participation in his salvation by suggesting that his part is merely contributory, brought in by the side of what God does, and yet is absolutely essential since God's part is done only on condition that man complies with His. You think about this, this makes perfect sense. We cannot save ourselves. God saves us. But yet God will not save us until we bring our will, we submit our will and bring it in alongside His commands. And the same is true with our spiritual growth. God is the one that brings that about, but it's only with our participation. It's only with us bringing our will in alongside His command and submitting unto Him. The verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, begins with this phrase, "But also for this very reason." For what reason? Well, why is it that we are to give all diligence in adding these things to our faith? Well, all we have to do is look up. Verses 2 through 4 gives us the reason. Verses 2 through 4 tells us what it is that God has contributed, what it is that He has made available, what it is that He has supplied to us. God has saved us, hasn't He? God has saved us of our sins. He has made us His children. He has caused us, at the very end of verse 4, to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has cleansed us of that. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, verse 3. Everything that we need to make it through this life and to get into the life that is to come, God has freely given us. He has also granted us these precious, exceedingly great and precious promises. And we could list these and we could go on. We could spend the rest of our time just talking about the promises that God has made to us in His Word. The fact that we can be saved. The hope that we have in heaven. And on we can go. And in particular, the fact that we are invited and encouraged to partake of the divine nature. That is, we are invited to become like God, to be like God. That invitation is extended to us. We are encouraged to do that. Now, this is what God has done for us. Every Lord's Day when we assemble around this table, we spend some time remembering an aspect of what God has done for us. Now, the Holy Spirit's use of this Greek word means that we are to bring some things in alongside what God has done. God has done His part. Now, we are supposed to do ours. There are some things that we have to bring to the table. We are not passive in our salvation, and neither are we passive in our spiritual growth. I'm going to address that a little bit when we draw this to a close. A lot of people in the religious world would have us to believe, we're on cruise control. We're on automatic pilot, and God just takes care of everything from above. And that's not what the text says. That there are some things that we have to bring to the table. And look at this picture. We bring it in alongside what God has done. Here's His effort. Now we are to supply our effort. And what was God's effort? God's effort was one in which diligence was shown. God was diligent in bringing about the scheme of redemption and bringing about everything that had to happen so that we could be saved, we could have fellowship with Him, we could become like Him. We need to be equally diligent in supplying our part. So here's the word, diligent. Diligent is translated from the Greek word spoudē. It's only about 5 or 6 letters. I can attempt to pronounce that. It is a word that is actually a part of a family of Greek words that are all taken from the word for speed. So if you think of speed or haste or putting an immediate effort into something, that's the idea behind this word spoudē. And that's the idea behind diligence. It's not half-hearted. It's not, oh, I'll get around to it. It's not, I'm on automatic pilot. It's, I'm going to get at it. I'm going to give it my best effort. To earnestly hasten, to put forth an energetic effort. Thayer defines spoudē as earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, or striving after anything. To put that earnest effort into it. Brethren, we are not saved to sit. We have not been saved to be lazy and to do nothing. We are to grow and we are to mature spiritually. And the fact that we are called upon to give all diligence in acquiring these graces found in verses 5 through 7 should tell us that they don't come naturally. And they don't come automatically and they don't come accidentally. We've got to give it our best effort. If you think about it, nothing worthwhile comes easy, does it? It doesn't. Think about the need for diligence in so many different areas of life. If the student is going to make the best grades possible, the student has to be diligent in his studies. I coasted through high school. And my grades showed it. Especially when I got into college and hit a brick wall with my studies. I coasted. I didn't give that diligence in high school like I should have. There were others who did. They were the ones that were in the honor society, not me. A student, to do their very best, has to be diligent to give that effort. For an athlete, to do their very best, they have to be diligent in their training. Someone who's in the business world can't be passive. They have to be diligent. They have to be energetic in all their enterprises, in all of their efforts. We can see that in different areas. We can appreciate that in different areas of life. But we have to make the same application to spiritual growth. The Bible contains so many scriptures that admonish us to be diligent. To put forth that energetic effort. To give it haste. To work at it. There's a contrast I like to look at. Water. Water is lazy. Water takes the path of least resistance. It always does. It's going to find it. When the water is spilt, when water is poured, it's always going to take that path of least resistance. It's always going to go down. But Christians, we can't be that way. We have received an upward call. If you look in the book of Philippians at chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Water falls down. Water takes the path of least resistance. The Christian is to press upward, to reach forward, to press on. We are to be diligent in our growth. We are to be diligent in every area of our life. As I said, there are many passages in the Bible that tell us that diligence is to be shown. This energy, this effort, this haste is to be shown in many different areas. But I want to take a look at just 5. I want to look at 5 specific areas in which diligence has to be shown. We can't put our life on cruise control, automatic pilot. We can't be like water, just taking the path of least resistance. We have to show diligence. Number 1 in seeking God. In seeking God, finding God, having that fellowship with God that pleases God, we have to put effort into that. A passage that should be familiar to many of us is Hebrews chapter 11 and at verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Faith is essential if we're going to have a pleasing relationship with God. And this verse tells us that faith consists of at least two things. First, faith is belief that God exists. We have to believe that God exists. We can't please God if we're full of doubt. We can't please God if we pray unto God and there's a part of us that doesn't even know if He's there listening. No. If we're going to please God, we have to believe that He exists. But number two, if we're going to please God, we have to trust that God will keep His Word. That He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The person that claims to have a relationship with God, but doesn't put any effort to it at all, they don't know what true fellowship with God is because they haven't arrived there. They can't find it with that kind of effort. It's only the person that diligently seeks God. Now the word here in some translations that's rendered diligently, it is not from the word spoude or any of the words like it. It is from a different word, exateo, which means to search out, investigate, crave, or demand. Now, do those words describe the effort that you and I put into obtaining and maintaining our fellowship with God? Let me go through this list again. To search out, investigate, crave, or demand. We will please God if we diligently seek Him. This same Greek word is found in the next chapter, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 17, in talking about Esau. And talking about Esau's attitude when he found out that his brother Jacob had stolen his birthright, his father had given it unto Jacob. And how he had this strong desire to get a blessing from his father. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. There's that same word as found in Hebrews 11 verse 6. What did Esau do? He was searching out, he was craving, he was demanding a blessing from his father. Do we show that same effort in seeking God, in finding God, in maintaining our fellowship with God? The rewards of a deep and abiding fellowship with God will only be known by those who seek after and maintain that fellowship with diligence. We are to diligently seek God. Secondly, in Ephesians chapter 4, we are to be diligent in maintaining unity with brethren. Ephesians chapter 4 and at verse 3, Paul begins to talk about the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The New King James Version and King James Version both say endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The English Standard Version says to be eager in maintaining or preserving the unity of the Spirit. The New American Standard Version uses the word diligent. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is translated from the word endeavoring, eager, or diligent, depending on what version you refer to, is translated from the Greek word spoudazo, which is related to spoude. So the meaning there is very similar. It means to hasten to do a thing, to exert oneself, to endeavor, to give diligence. Unity among brethren in a local church, we know, is God's will. But we also are smart enough to know that it doesn't happen by accident. God has made this unity possible. He's given us the grounds upon which this unity is to be established in verses 4 through 6. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. There's no discussion among these, no room for compromise. We have to agree on these points of doctrine. But the Lord has also told us the way that we are to conduct ourselves in maintaining this unity. Look at verses 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Endeavoring in what? Laboring in what? Persevering in what? Being diligent in what? In humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another. We put forth an energetic effort in these areas to maintain the peace and the unity in the local church. That is an area in which we are to show diligence, to give diligence, not be haphazard about it. Unity doesn't just happen. There's an effort that has to be put forth, and it's an effort that is worthwhile. So as Christians, we are to be diligent in this area. Number three, we are to give diligence in obtaining a working knowledge of Scripture. The King James Version renders 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 15 as study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we remember the way that it's rendered there in the King James, study to show yourself approved. But other translations render it differently. The New King James Version and the English Standard Version both say, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Be diligent. The New American Standard Version says, do your best. Do your best. So you've got, do your best, be diligent, study, King James Version. All of these words are translated from the same word found in Ephesians 4, verse 3, spoudazo, related to spoude, which means to hasten to do a thing, to exert oneself, to endeavor, to give diligence. What the King James Version does for us is tells us just exactly what it is we're to be diligent in, study. But as you look at the verse as a whole, you see that that's what's taught there. If we are going to stand approved before God with our knowledge of His Word, we're going to have to put some study into it. We're going to have to exert ourselves. We're going to have to exert some energy. We're going to have to spend some time and some effort in God's Word so we know how to rightly divide it, or we know how to handle it accurately, depending on what translation you may have. Our progress as students of God's Word must meet God's approval. Otherwise, we are going to be ashamed when we stand before Him and we don't know the Word any better than we do. And we don't know His Word and how to use His Word, how to interpret His Word, how to apply His Word to our daily lives any better than we did when we were first introduced to it. No, we have to put forth some effort. We have to strive. We have to study. The Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, they were rebuked for not making this progress. They had time. They had plenty of time. They just didn't put forth any effort. And so they didn't know the Word. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How did the person in verse 14 get to be the person in verse 14? Diligence. They applied diligence to their effort in studying and learning how to properly use God's Word. So we are to be diligent Bible students. We're to be diligent in our efforts to obtain a working knowledge of God's Word. Number four will bring us to our text that we are studying from in 2 Peter chapter 1. We are to be diligent in our growth, in the growth and the development of our character. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. These things that we've looked at, these characteristics, these qualities, these graces that we've studied, we spent time identifying what they were, defining what they were, looking at why we need them, looking at how we can obtain them. Now we see the imperative, the instruction, we need to pursue them diligently. We don't need to just sit and wait for them to fall into our lap. No, we need to go and get them, pursue them, obtain them, and apply them to our lives. To be diligent in this. If our faith is going to take us where we want to go, if we are going to show the full potential of our faith, if we're going to develop into partaking of the divine nature, to become as much like God as we can on this side of eternity, we must purposely and diligently add these qualities to our faith. We've got to study God's Word. We've got to learn. We've got to grow. We've got to recognize and correct the faults and change bad habits along the way in order to become more like God, to think like God, to act the way God would have us to act. This cannot happen by accident. We have to be diligent in pursuing and adding these virtues. And the last one I want us to consider is we have to be diligent in entering our eternal rest. Now, before we go to Hebrews 4, I'd like for us to stay right here in Peter, because this word spoudē, diligent, is used not only in 2 Peter 1 verse 5, but did you notice it was also found in verse 10 as we were reading it a while ago? Here's why we are to add these things, not just to become like God here, but to be with God in eternity. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're talking about entering into heaven. And that's only going to happen if you and I show diligence in getting there. Does that mean that we earn our way into heaven? Some people would cringe in hearing that comment that I just made. And say, oh, that this regards grace, that does away with God's grace. No, it doesn't at all. Remember the admonition found in verse 5. To bring alongside of. Here's what God has offered us. Here's what He's made possible. But we've got to bring ourselves alongside Him. We have to bring our will and bring it alongside His command and submit it to Him in order for heaven to be our home. Now, the point, I believe, is made more clearly back in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and at verse 2 we're going to look at, but also here in Hebrews chapter 3. There are several verses here I want us to look at. We've got Hebrews 4:11 here on the chart. But if you look up in chapter 3, verse 19, here the Hebrew writer is looking at the children of Israel as they left bondage, as they left Egypt, came through the Red Sea, went to Sinai, received the law, went to the border of the promised land, and did not enter in. Because 10 spies came back and said, no, we can't take it. We're like grasshoppers in front of them. We'll be slaughtered. And it was only Joshua and Caleb who said, no, we can do it. But But the negative view prevailed, and they didn't enter in. Notice Hebrews 3 verse 19 says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Now chapter 4, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." They knew of God, but they didn't truly believe Him. Joshua and Caleb did. God's promised this land to us, and we can go get it. Let's go get it. But the rest of them, they didn't really believe God. Because of that, they weren't allowed in. They didn't enter into that rest. Now look down at verse 11. Here's the application. Here's the application to those in the first century. Here's the application to us today. "Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." We can do the same thing they did. We can fail to enter in. How? If we don't show diligence. If we don't pursue the promise in faith and obedience the way they should have. We have to show that diligence in order to arrive at our rest. This was the attitude that Paul had in Philippians chapter 3. We read that a few moments ago, where Paul said, "I don't count myself to have obtained it yet. One thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forward, I press on, I move ahead." There was diligence. What was he striving for? Philippians 3 verse 11 says, the resurrection from the dead. That promise of what is to come after this life. Entering into that rest. It's only going to come to those who are diligent. It's only going to come to those who have that earnest haste to obtain it. The reading that we had for us before our sermon in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." We're not there yet. We've got to keep on keeping on. So here are some specific areas in which you and I can't be lazy. We can't be indifferent. We can't be apathetic. We have got to bring our effort alongside God's promises. And we have to show and give all diligence in these different areas. The goal of partaking of the divine nature is not achieved by carelessness or indifference. This is one thing that Calvinism, the false doctrine of Calvinism, has contributed to so-called Christianity. Is this idea that God is in charge of everything and you and I are in charge of nothing, so any salvation that we have and any growth that we have is up to God. It's not up to us. We simply wait and let God work on us through the Holy Spirit. And what that results in is laziness. We don't have to give attention to it. God's taking care of it all, and so as a result, we're not diligent about anything. And turns out the people who have that attitude, their spirituality and their knowledge, their true working knowledge of God's Word is very shallow. Because there's no incentive there to do anything. But if you'll honestly read the Scriptures, you'll see the admonition after admonition after admonition to be diligent. To do your best. To study. To show yourself approved unto God. To work out your salvation with fear and trembling, to exercise yourself to godliness, and on we can go with the admonitions that are found. We are to do our best and be diligent in growing as a child of God. In adding to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and on down that list. It's not like we're mixing ingredients in a bowl and we just pour them in and we mix them up. No, it's something we are to actively, purposely pursue. And if we do that, then the promises that God offers, they can be ours. Again, we're not earning, but we're supplying our part. God expects us to come in alongside Him and to do our part. We need to be diligent about doing that. Brethren, let's grow and let's be what God would have us to be. And I appreciate your attention as we've gone back to this passage and taken a look at this instruction to be diligent and to give all diligence. Combine it with this morning's study. We can be that those unnamed, unsung heroes of conversion. We can be like that servant girl. We can be like Elisha's servant. We can be like Naaman's servants. But we need to be diligent about it. We need to be diligent in speaking up and inviting people. We need to be diligent in teaching the truth. We need to be diligent and giving that nudge and looking for opportunities to encourage people to make their life right with God. So let's mix the sermon from this afternoon with this morning's sermon as well. Let's be diligent yet humble servants. If you need to respond to the invitation, we're going to offer it at this time. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian. Maybe as a Christian you have error in your life that you need to correct. Maybe you're overwhelmed and need our prayers. Whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.